Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, hey, how you doing? I'm sorry I had you on mute. Please forgive me. This is CCTI. This is the CCTI Real Talk Summer Edition. I'm so glad that you're tuning in. If you're tuning in, it was a slight delay at the beginning, only because I had my the phone on mute. Therefore, I was definitely not connecting. So I'm definitely connecting now. Welcome. This is the Summer Edition of CCTI. And here at CCTI, we're the Christian Counseling Training Institute. We are an institution that desires to educate, empower, envision, equip the body of Christ to provide counsel, deliverance, and restoration to the community at large. And it is a Christian counseling training program that is biblically based and is spirit-filled. Individuals who are enrolled, you should feel definitely proficient, competent to serve by respecting the saints, doing the work of the ministry, and edifying the body of Christ. Definitely what I wanted to do over this summer edition. They're not holding no classes at the moment, but I definitely just wanted to leave the line open for conversation, kind of round table talk. If there's questions that we have, or if there's questions that you may have, definitely I wanted to make this time available to you, whether it's about the institution, whether it was about something that we taught on within Unit 1 and Unit 2, or whether it's something that may be going on in your current life this moment. I definitely wanted to be able to address that. So there's definitely no fee for that. Just wanted to make ourselves available just to provide some answers. We also do on second Saturdays of each month, we do a freedom clinic. The freedom clinic is designed to, it's like a clinic. And so we take a topic. It's the continuation of what we call the sexual relationship. And so what happens is we do this sexual relational healing retreat annual, but our last one was in 2016, and the next one won't be until 2018. And so, what we do is as follow up and continuation of God has commanded us and commissioned us to do freedom time, where we take like a topic or what we call workshop, and we explore. So, for example, this past Saturday, we did a freedom clinic on psychotropic medications in the body of Christ. You can definitely tune in to listen to that in our archive. The web address for that would be blogtalkradio.com/LFC-Word Life Center. And so LFC-Word Life Center. And so definitely you can listen to it. And all the Freedom Clinics have Freedom Clinic in front of it. So you search it through the archive to listen to what we have done. And so I'm definitely excited. I think the station is called Becoming a Voice and Not a Victim. And so we definitely want to make up to encourage you guys. And it was a good, and we're going to continue the psychotropic medication for the next treatment clinic, and we're going to take a deeper perspective, if you will. Well, all of it was deep, all of it was revelatory, but we're going to take some more look at it in depth, and we just want to look at it. So the treatment clinic is formatted there. We talk about a topic, we explore it. If you have questions, you ask, we talk about it. The whole goal is we want people to be free in whatever area. And then afterwards, there's a service, if you will, or a time of ministry. in their time of ministry and where we would minister to individuals in that area. That service may look like prayer. They may look like delivering. They may look like healing. They may just look like people writing their confessions or concerns out. It just depends. And then if individuals desire counseling afterwards and on a one-on-one basis, we make ourselves available for that. So definitely, that is available. And tell someone about it. It's free. Don't worry about eating. There's a light breakfast bar, fruits, muffins, juice, water, things to snack on. So definitely you don't have to worry about food. You can bring your children or teenagers if you desire. And so we definitely just want to make ourselves available for that. Also, for Unit 1 and 2 of CCTI, we covered overcoming rejection. That's at our sister station. And this information is also on the intro if you get it by email, too. And that is lovetalkradio.com/laborers for Christ ministry. And it starts on every Monday, starts from January 11th. And I think it's like through March. So it's every Monday. And it says overcoming rejection. So if you go to that, the unit one, you should be able to pull it out of the archive there. But for this, and what we started doing going forth with unit two in regards to blog talk, is to make sure we try to label what it is so that people won't get confused. Because there's other individuals who are on the station as well. They have their show. And those are just things that you can take part of. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to open the lines. And remember, this is the time, the summer edition, that if you have any questions, if there's something that you are concerned about, something you want, if you have questions about, let's address them. That's what we want to do on Monday. And so I'm going to open up the lines, and you will hear on your phone going unmute. And so definitely we just want you to be a relaxed atmosphere wherever you are, and we just want to kind of move it. All right? So I'm going to open the lines. Hello, caller. How are you? Okay. We don't have any tickets. All right. And so remember, the whole goal is we just want to be so informative. And so one topic I want to definitely talk about, I'm going to start off with depression. Depression is a topic. And so we want to look at it. We want to kind of look at it from a we just want to talk about it, and we just want to move forward. So depression is extremely common. It is present in a quarter to a half of all patients, all people. We are a depressed society sometimes. It affects people in all walks of life. We're talking about professionals like doctors, lawyers, blue-collar workers, laborers, housewives, teenagers, children, elderly people. Leaders, but depression is something that definitely attacks the body of Christ. Even great kings and prophets in the Bible battled with depression, such as Elijah. And you usually see that scripture. It's always the 1 Kings 19 verses. Let me take a look at that and pull that up and. Let's read that together so that you can see it for yourself. And so, 1 Kings, just give me a moment to pull it up so we can address it. 19 and 3. So this is 19 and 3. Let me just read this verse. So when Elijah heard this, he was afraid. So he ran away to save his life. He took his servant with him, and they went to Beersheba. and Judah. Then Elijah left his servant in Beersheba and walked the whole day into the desert. Then he sat down under a bush and asked to die. He said, I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Then Elijah lay down under the bush and went to sleep. Okay, now check this out because this is very interesting. So what ended up happening was Elijah did a great miracle. It was 400 prophets that he slayed. And this is where you hear the battle at Mount Carmel. And Elijah, they set up two altars, and the goal was, and I'm paraphrasing this, whoever God responds by fire is the true God. And so the false prophets and the people that were challenging him was praying to their God, and nothing happened. The altar never burnt up. But Elijah, what ended up happening was he ended up praying to God. Well, he wet his altar with water. He dug a trench around it so water could fill it up. So he wetted so that it wasn't supposed to get wet. And then he prayed to God, and our God responded by fire and not only burnt up the altar, but it consumed the rock, the water, the dust. There was nothing left, a consuming fire. And that moment, and then he killed all the four prophets, the 400 prophets, I believe, false prophets, as a result of that. And then word got back to Jezebel, and Jezebel sent word to Elijah saying, you know what you did to them, I will do to you. And so you find that this great man of God, according to the Bible, he ran away. That's why I said, so the first verse says, King Ahab told Jezebel everything that Elijah did, how Elijah had killed all the prophets of Baal with the sword. And so Jezebel sent the messenger to Elijah and said, I swear that by this time tomorrow, you will be just as dead as those prophets. If I don't succeed, may the gods do the same or worse to me. And so when Elijah heard this, the Bible says he was afraid. He ran away to save his life. He took somebody with him. He went to a desert or a dry place. He sat under a bush and he asked to die. And his confession was, I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. Let me read some of the diagnostic criteria of depression. So, for example, when individuals come into the clinic or if they're getting assessed for depression, what doctors will look for are five or more of the following symptoms to be presented in a two-week period. So depressed mood most of the day or nearly every day, a depressed mood where individuals are just kind of sad, down, they feel hopeless, they have a negative outlook on everything. There is a loss of interest and pleasure in almost all activities most of the day, nearly every day. So, for example, like if you like crochet or painting or taking walks into the park, individuals who are depressed, they lose interest in that and they lose pleasure in doing the things that make them happy. They kind of withdraw or isolate themselves. And also they may experience appetite disturbance. This is where there is an increase or decrease in their weight. So, for example, they're either eating too much emotionally or they're not eating at all. And, you know, I see this on a daily basis when people come to the clinic. You know, they come to the clinic and, you know, they either picked up some weight and it's really noticeable. It's like, wow, it's like, what's going on? Or, you know, it's like so skinny, and it's not even a healthy look for them. You know, like some people lose weight, and it's like, okay, looks good, but this doesn't look healthy because their eyes are sunken, there's dark circles, you know, they really seem now malnutrition and stuff like that. So it's just real bad. And so insomnia or sleep disturbances. So either they are sleeping too much or they're not sleeping at all. And so, you know, these are just signs of the depression. Movement is agitated or very slow. It's hard to budge them. They just don't have the energy. There's fatigue, that loss of energy again. There's a low self-esteem. There's feelings of worthlessness or excessive and inappropriate guilt, difficulty in thinking or concentrating, very indecisive. And here's another symptom that's of some importance. Recurrent thoughts of death or suicide attempts. So they have these thoughts that you saw in this passage. When he said, I have had enough, Lord. Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors. You see him, the Bible says that he was afraid, you know, just kind of depressed, a loss of interest. He runs to a desert. He isolates himself. He left his servant in Bathsheba. So he has somebody with him, you know, somebody that's at his side, you know, like most individuals have their family members or friends that they hang out with. And then all of a sudden, they just don't take him. They just kind of kick everybody to the curb. You know, and they just kind of walk aimlessly, you know, not looking for any type of help, just kind of walking, hoping that something will break, and they just want to die. So you see that. And then the fifth verse of that says that Elijah laid down the bush and went to sleep. Well, that makes sense. Most individuals who are depressed, one of the biggest things they do is sleep. They sleep because it's a way of escaping the problem. It's a way of, you know, not having to deal with the things that are occurring. And, you know, Elijah's just one example of a form of depression. Another one would be King David. And this is in Psalm 40, verse 3. Psalms 40, verse 3. And I read out of the Easy Read version of the Bible. And so Psalms 40 verse 3 says, he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see what he did in worshiping. They will put their trust in the Lord. And let me start off with verse 1. So I called to the Lord and he heard. He heard my cry. He lifted me out of the grave. He lifted me from that muddy place. He picked me up and put me on solid ground and kept my feet from slipping. And there's passages throughout the book of Psalms where you find David just kind of talking about his present condition. Like David would always be talking about, my tears have fallen out of my eyes, and it has flooded my soul. He would make things like that. Oh, my bones are skinny. And he would make statements like that, and it's throughout the Psalms. And so David was another one that was considered to be depressed. Once again, just kind of not happy with his situation, not happy the way his life turned about, just losing that vibrant energy, feeling low self-esteem, feeling worthless, and having this guilt and not really sure why they have guilt, feeling that they have not accomplished what they were created to do. And so there's either recurrent thoughts of death or suicide attempts. And so that's what depression looks like in the Bible. But there is an answer. And there's always an answer. And also, I'm sorry, and some of the other depressive symptoms that individuals will begin to see will be, you know, it impairs or impacts your social, occupational, and other areas of function. And so, for example, socially, once again, like I said, you stop hanging around with your friends, you stop going to family functions, you don't interact even with your spouse if you're married. You kind of withdraw from them intimately. And so it's like you just don't enjoy it, and you're just going through the motion. And on your job, you know, it really impacts your workflow. You know, now there's a clinical depression and there is a situational depression. The situational depression is a depression where there is an identifiable circumstance. So, which means the person can pinpoint that the reason why they are depressed is because of this. So, for example, a loved one has died or passed, or matter of fact, if you're current with the news, the attack that has just been on the African American race. It's like when you turn on the TV, the thing that happened into 9/11, and they just played it over and over and over again. And so you're seeing people get murdered constantly. Mike Brown, and all these young black men and black men, or today I was watching the news and there was a young girl in Illinois. In Calumet City, and she's sitting in her house enjoying her time with her family, and a stray bullet enters the window. And so it's like, where can you go? So now you understand why Elijah was sitting there going, oh my gosh, Lord, I have had enough. Just take my life. And that's when it gets really, you know, bad and heartache. And these, you know, And so depressive symptoms are, a depression can also be stimulated by other factors, drug-related factors. There's a thing called a substance-induced depressive symptom. What that is you either took some drugs or you took alcohol, and it has caused those same type of symptoms. So, for example, alcohol is a depressant. Alcohol is a depressant. And because alcohol is a depressant, you know, if individuals were taking, like, antidepressant medication, they'd be like, the medication isn't working. And sometimes I would ask, well, have you had anything to drink? And most likely they'll say, yeah. And it's like, well, that's one of the reasons why it's not working, because the alcohol has counterattacked the medication. And the medications that they use for depression are called antidepressants. And so the theory is this. You have this natural hormone in your body called serotonin. And serotonin, which is a natural hormone in your body, what tends to happen is that it is this hormone that helps you to feel good. It's this hormone that when it's released into your body, this hormone, it picks you up. It's kind of like when you think of a nice, juicy steak dinner with nice mashed potatoes and gravy with either corn on the cob or peas on the side with a nice dinner roll. Talk about fresh hot yeast roll with the honey butter laid out on the top of it, with a nice cold glass of drink, whatever your preference is. That puts a smile to my face. Or, oh, and then a nice dessert because you're not too full, so you can eat it. And so, you know, that puts a smile on my face. But then when you start talking about, you know what, once again, the incidents that occurred on the news lately, just last week, with young men dying, people getting killed, or bills not being paid, or people's health is being attacked. You know, that kind of takes that smile away. And so the antidepressant ends up replenishing back the serotonin that has been taken from their body. That's the whole goal of the antidepressant. And it keeps the serotonin in your system long enough. So what it does is, it's like if you have a jug of water, that's the best way to. If you no, a dirty pencil. So a vacuum cleaner, that's what it is. So you have some dirt on the floor. This is probably a bad example. You have some dirt on the floor, and you have your vacuum cleaner, right? And you clean up the dirt that's on the floor. You know, everything is good because that's what the vacuum cleaner does. But if something goes wrong with the vacuum cleaner, what tends to happen is that the dirt does not get taken back, or the dirt does not get sucked up into the vacuum cleaner. But what ends up happening is that the dirt just stays there. So in a weird way, this is what the antidepressant drug does. It keeps the hormone from going back into the vacuum cleaner, if you will. It keeps the hormone in your system so that you feel good and have energy, won't have suicidal thoughts, won't feel depressed, won't feel worthless, won't feel guilt. And so, you know, that's what the antidepressant does. And it's supposed to help you be able to get that energy so that you can continue with life. And sometimes depression can be genetically inherited. There's a book that I'm reading, and I'm trying to get more information on it. Takes a look at generational curses. And so one of the solutions that you can do with your generational curse is simply begin to renounce the generational curse, renounce depression in the line. Pray for the individuals before you. So whatever symptom is running through my family line, I always pray not only 10 generations before me, but 10 generations after me, and generations even going back to Adam. I always pray that that it be broken so that we can all walk free, because I don't want my sons and grandchildren and great to be, however long this earth stands, children, to have to endure those generations, generational curse. Now, when we talk about generational curse, what we're simply saying is that you start to see things that's just kind of running through your family line. Like if you're familiar with family trees and you kind of trace. So what I encourage people to do is do a family tree of your family and kind of list the things that you know about them. So like in my family line, there's been divorce, there's been multiple marriages, but I also see that there have been preachers and pastors, and so I list those things so I can see the trend that's normally happened. And once I can see the trend, then from that moment, I just begin to, you know, either pray against what I'm seeing or ask God to release the good thing that we are definitely seeing. One scripture I wanted to share with you. And this is Isaiah 60. I came across this version, and it's the Amplified version, and it's very interesting to me. Let me see if I can pull it up. Yes, let me pull it up. Give me one moment. This is the Amplified, and it says, this is Isaiah 60, verse 1. Arise from the spiritual depression to a new life. Arise from the depression to a new life. Arise, shine, be radiant with the glory and brilliance of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory and brilliance of the Lord has risen upon you. For in fact, darkness will cover the earth, and a deep darkness will cover the peoples. but the Lord will rise upon you, Jerusalem, and his glory and brilliance will be seen on you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Lift up your eyes around you and see. They all gather together. They come to you. Your sons will come, and your daughters will look after at their side. So that scripture starts off by saying, arise from the spiritual depression to a new life. I thought that to be so amazing. I was like, oh, my gosh, depression is in the Bible. And the treatment to depression, when you're looking at it from a spiritual, is light, light, light. The light of God or light outside, which is why most individuals, when they're depressed, if you go to their house and notice, their house are usually dark or the shades are closed and the windows are down and it's just dark and dreary. You can kind of feel it. That's that deep darkness that's covering the people. And so usually as a treatment, I tell people, open up the blinds of your house. They always look at me and go, what? I open up the blinds of your house because you have to let that light come in. And you have this treasure, as the Bible would say, in earthen vessels, that the power is of God and not of us. So you have this light inside of you. The Bible also declares that you are the light of the world, a city set on a hill. And so therefore that light is there. That light is manifesting. That light, that power, that's what's going to fight the depression. But we got to help individuals. And love. Love is the other thing that helps fight the depression. Some people just need to know that they are loved. Some people have been through some traumatic things in their life that it's so hard to get over. And you see that with David. You see that with Elijah. They've just been through some things that sometimes it just doesn't make sense. And it's just kind of like, my God, what is going on? You know, with all the things that David's been through, you know, he was anointed king as a boy. He fought a bear. He fought a lion. He fought armies. And now that he's king, he's just kind of like, oh, my God, or my enemies are coming to get me. Or when he had that negative encounter with his king, which was King Saul, you know, just kind of hitting him like, why is this happening to me? You know, when he thinks about his mother and he thinks about his father, there's a Bible scripture that says that, you know, he was when his mother and father forsake him, so he was rejected by his parents. And as a result of that, you know, that affects individuals. And when I think about the lives of everyday people, we want to be accepted. We want to be loved, despite the fact that people keep saying that I don't care, don't matter to me, none. No, that's not true. You do care. Everybody wants to be accepted. And when we are not accepted, we start doing things that goes against what we know and what we truly believe, and thus depression gets an opportunity to kind of come in, settle in. And sometimes, not sometimes, but on some levels, you know, depression, when I say it, can be a good thing, because sometimes its design is trying to stop you. You know, sometimes we're doing too much, so we're always busy, and we never take time for ourselves. And so depression sometimes slows us down so that we can recuperate and check in with God and make sure that everything is all right, and then get back up and go. So that's what I'm saying. And so the root cause of depression is, a root cause of depression sometimes is low self-esteem, self-hatred, self-rejection, self-condemnation, and or guilt in a person's thought life or their person's life. And so remember, one thing I've noticed in my career is that, if you ask a person, well, why are you depressed, 9 times out of 10, they really can't tell you. And that makes sense to me. They really can't tell you because depression doesn't have that type of root. Most mental illness doesn't just have a root. to it. And so I believe that any mental illness is the result of humanity rejecting God, which means we have not allowed God to be a part of our everyday circumstances. So thus, darkness is there. And if darkness is there, that means God isn't there because the light isn't shining. And so therefore, we want to walk towards that light whenever we detach. Now, that's on some cases for some people, and people will argue that down. But, you know, here at CCTI, we look at the spiritual root of things. And looking at the spiritual root of things just simply suggests that it can be related to the fact that we have not acknowledged God in our area, and we have taken matters into our own hand. You know, just like forgiveness. You know, God says, I want you to forgive them. I want you to feed them and love them. The first thing we do is we have a hard time accepting that. And thus, we start going off on our own journey and path. That means God isn't present there because he told us to forgive, and yet we chose not to forgive. And because we're holding unforgiveness in our heart, we have detached ourselves from that light, that truth. And that truth is that forgiveness is for us. The truth is forgiveness is designed to free you so that God can do what is necessary in restoring the person that offended you. But if you don't understand that, then you and I will harbor forgiveness. And as a result of harboring the forgiveness, we will then it ends up affecting our bodies in ways that just can't even be explained. And so we want to begin to look at those things and challenge those things and move forward, as we are looking at some things. Any questions, any thoughts? All right. Okay. And so, you know, once again, this is just the CI Summer Edition, just real talk. And we just, what we're doing is just as a ministry opportunity, we are just simply just opening up the doors, if you will, for just round table discussion, things that may be pierced. And if you have questions, if you know people that have questions, we want to address those. This is what the real talk is all about. And so it's not mandatory. We just want to help the people. That's what it's about. And so depression, because depression is like this, it's a gambit of things. It's a lot of things. It isn't just one thing at all. It's like it can be one, it starts off with one thing and then it builds and it gains strength, and next thing you know, it becomes this weight, sits on you. And that's in the spiritual part of all of this. In the natural part of this, what the depression ends up doing is it ends up zapping your energy physically. So, for example, it's like your nerve systems. We are electrical chemical people, and so there's this electricity that runs through your body. We call it the Holy Spirit, but on the outside of it, for us to operate, our nerves fire, if you will, or electrical charges pass through you, and it's a whole chemical process that's just amazing. And sometimes, like, for example, calcium. They tell you to drink a lot of orange juice or things with calcium because that also helps with the firing. When you make a muscle or use your muscle in putting on a jar or opening up a jar or lifting up something, your nerves, when your muscles are contracting, the only reason why they are able to contract is because of the electricity that is firing. When people have cramps in their legs, one thing they tell you to do is eat a banana because it has potassium. And so there's this, what helps with the electrical charge is sodium, calcium, and potassium. And so when sodium goes in, the muscle contracts, you get electrical firing. When the electrical charge is, when it's not firing, then you got potassium that is released. These bodies are so uniquely made. I mean, it's a whole chemistry. I did an undergrad and master's in biomedical science. So it's not complex. It's just a lot. But it helps us to understand the body. You know, so like if I'm feeling cramps in my leg or something, what I'll do is I'll eat a banana. Or what I would do is if I'm eating a banana, I'll drink some orange juice to keep the muscles charged if I'm not energetic, you know. Or something simple I do is I just go stand outside. I stand outside and let the sun hit me, and I walk around in the sun, and I usually feel, you know, rejuvenated, because remember, light fights any darkness, and it just dispels it away. And so that's, you know, I thank God for these resources, you know. And what light does, though, when light, like when the sun rays enter your body, it converts into this electrical chemical energy so that you can get this hormone called dopamine. Is the feel-good hormone. It is the hormone that allows individuals to get high. It's that, yeah, that when you see drug users taking crack and cocaine, they're looking for that high. They're looking for the release of dopamine. And that's what they, you know, that's just what they do. And so, you know, the light triggers that off. It sets it off in such a way that it just rejuvenates your body. And dopamine, and you'll find it's hard to believe, is produced by serotonin. Like there's this flow chart. And so, for example, that's why I said the chemistry behind this is bananas, but it's wonderful. But what ends up happening is you have the serotonin, and once that's released into your body, it sets off another chain of events. Thus, dopamine gets produced from serotonin, and then dopamine, it converts to other energy or other hormones such as epinephrine and norepinephrine. What is the epinephrine and norepinephrine? It is that adrenaline rush. So that adrenaline rush, you know, is that high that got people just up and, oh, I feel good, and they're bouncing all over the way and they're doing remarkable things, which is why you see that most drug users under the influence are strong, you know, and they're like doing stuff that's like, oh my gosh. Now they got this new drug out. It's just a straight gateway to hell. And it's called Flocka. And I was watching a video of it. And I mean, these people really look, I mean, oh my gosh, they really look demonic. It's like you can see it. And, you know, they're wiggling and doing some weird things, and they would, like, run to a car and smash their head into the window or jump into the glass of a car. And it was like, oh, my Lord, what is this drug? And they would always say, I see demons, I see them, they're taking over me. You know, it's like this gate, this doorway. And so all of this for and high. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so we can control this. And so it doesn't matter how the depression gets there. The question people have to ask, or you want to ask individuals, is what is it you want to do about it? And it's not that some people are resistant to your love or your treatment. It's just that they're so burnt out physically. We call that a learned helplessness. And so what ends up happening is they did this study, and the dog was in an electrical cage, and they set the electrical bolts, and the dog would jump every time they put the electrical charge to the steel gate. And the dog inside would just jump and bounce, and then he was trying to escape. But then he got to a place where he realized, man, I am not getting out of this. And they kept charging it, and what you saw, saw was that the dog just lay there. They increased the charge, and the dog just lay there. They unlocked the gate, and the dog just lay there. That's that learned helplessness, is that, you know, so what you take from that is not that you're a dog. It's just that when that level of stress is raining through your body so heavily, it zaps your energy in such a way that you don't even have a desire to move. There was a time where the symptoms of depression tried to come over me, and I could always tell. I had no furniture in my apartment, and I had this one black fold-up chair in front of the TV, and I would sit there and put my clothes on. And as I sat there, just putting on my socks became a task. It was like, oh, my gosh. And I was like, and I would just slump over, and I was like, what is going on with me? Then I realized, oh, my gosh, this chair is making me depressed. And so what I did, I got rid of the chair. And I opened up the blind, and I rearranged the living room, and I did something differently so that I can change the spirit in the room. That's the whole thing. It's a deep darkness. And so if I can do that simply with light, spiritually, if depression is linked to darkness, imagine what you can do with the light of God. Imagine what you can do with the light that he has put inside of you. And that's the blessing of it. Once again, we're taking questions. This is open line. You are welcome to join in and talk. This is just CCTI Real Talk, some edition. We just want to be able to talk about some things. And remember, invite individuals. If there's something that somebody's like, you know what, I got this issue, and I want to kind of get some insight on it. They don't have to give their name. They can just give the issue. You can even say, you can use an alias or anonymous, and we just kind of go from there, because we really want to help people. You know, I'm on this new kick lately. I don't want to build quantity. I want to build quality. I want the citizens of heaven's to know their rights before God. I want the citizens of heaven to be able to stand in this evil day. I want them to go into all the world, into these systems, and bring the light of God and the gospel to individuals. Here's a scripture. This is Isaiah 61, verse 3. Another thing that fights depression: put on the garment of praise instead of a heavy burden and failing spirit. You want to put on that garment of praise. You also want to speak out to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, offering praise with voices and instruments, and making melody with all your heart to the Lord at all times and for everything, giving thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God the Father. That's Ephesians 5, verses 19 and 20. And I think that scripture about singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs is also in Colossians. Very interesting passage of scripture. Me and the overseer of the Labor Express Ministry was talking, and she said our lives should, and this is funny, this is why it sticks with me, because I hate a Disney movie. And one of the reasons why I hate anything that Disney does is because when I'm enjoying the movie, it's like in the middle of it, they bust out with these songs. Summer. It's like, oh, come on. It's summer. And then everybody starts singing. But here's the interesting concept about that. That's how we should be. We should always have a song on our heart, just singing unto the Lord, and making up a new song, you know. And I'm always making up a song. I don't care if the words is wrong. And I just make up a song because that's what I do. Sometimes you just got to sing, because singing changes up the atmosphere. It charges up the atmosphere. You got to sing a new song, and you sing psalms, and you sing hymns, you know, and you sing spiritual songs. You know, this is whether you're either singing in tongues or you're going into your belly. You know, I like the scripture that says, come before his presence with singing. You know, that word singing means to creak. It means to creak. And so God isn't worried about your A flat. He ain't worried about your A sharp. He just wants you to sing amen. You know, so you just got to sing. He has the final say. And we got to allow our spirit. This is why we must be so interactive with the Holy Spirit that abides within us. Once again, depression is a result of darkness. And if there's darkness present, then what that says is that the light will turn into that. Or the flesh, because we have not crucified it, and we will walk in a carnal state, you know, will cover up that light source. And so we got to kill the flesh. And we got to, you know, Jesus was our dead sacrifice, and so we have to be the living sacrifice for him. He wants us to live because eternal life is what he has promised us and more of it abundantly. And so definitely, you know, those are just the things. Here's Psalms 42, verse 5. Interesting. Once again, David, another individual that was struggling with some depression, listen to what he said. Why are you cast down, O my inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? And then he responds, hope in God and wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet praise him, my help and my God. And so even the great spiritual giant David had to battle with depression. To overcome his downcast and depressed feelings and emotion, he used to sing songs of praise to God and shouts of deliverance in the midst of difficult and miserable circumstances. That is why so many of his psalms are songs of praise to God. You know, this is Psalms 1, verses 1 through 3, Amplified version. I waited patiently and expectantly for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He drew me out of a horrible pit, a pit of tumult and of destruction, out of miry clay, froth and slime, and set my feet upon a rock, steadying my steps and establishing my going. He has put a new song in my mouth, in a song of praise to our God. Now, I don't think that's Psalms 1. I think that's like a Psalms 11. I have to find it's definitely a misprint, so I'm sorry about that. Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. Bless affectionately, gratefully. Praise the Lord, all my soul. You know, you got to fight through that darkness. You know, like when you're in a dark pit, I usually tell patients, you got to call for help. Like, think about it. If you are in a valley and it's dark, like you're driving on the road and you end up in this ditch and it's midnight, you ain't trying to sit there going, you know, help, help. No, you scream, help, help. Come get me, see me, save me, throw a rope down here. People won't go into dark places sometimes, and they won't be able to see you. So you want to yell. You want to be able to, you know, call out. You want to make that noise. This is how you fight. Joy is one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And what's beautiful about joy is that joy is an attribute of God. And because joy is an attribute of God, God has no opposite. Means joy cannot be canceled out. That is dope. Now, happiness has an opposite, and you cannot be happy and unhappy at the same time. You just can't. But joy is an attribute of God, and you can have joy in the midst of sorrow. And if you feel your joy has depleted, you can replenish your joy, which is why the Bible uses this simple term. It's one that we all hear. We hear it all the time, but we never realize it. If your joy is gone, you rejoice. Yeah, I knew you were like that. You rejoice. Or if we break that word down, again find joy. You again find a source of pleasure. That's beautiful. That's how it goes. And so, you know, you rejoice, and again I say rejoice. And so thus you can always again spark that joy that's within you. So look, I'm committed to you guys for the CCTI Real Talks. So you definitely tune in. You know, if you got any emails, if you got any questions, you can text or you can email me at IsaacFamily07@yahoo.com. Just email me and send me your questions off this topic. So if you have concerns, once again, we just want to invite people. We're just doing this until Unit 3 of CCTI kicks off. We just want to make sure that we keep people abreast of what's going on. Remember, the whole goal of all of this is, you know, I was in prayer today, and I was just like, God, it's becoming so hard to preach. It becomes so hard now. Like back in the day, you know, you go in the Bible, find a scripture, and come up with something. But now it's like, yo, that's not enough anymore. And I think the people of God are recognizing, the people of the world are recognizing, we know we need more than just hoop and hollering and giving me a little meal. You know, it's about living this thing out fully and completely. You can fight this. You can fight this. You can fight whatever you're going through. You know, it's time for the people of God to awaken. And there are other spheres of influence that are affecting this world. And we need to go in there. You know, I don't say that I have a job. I have a vocation. You know, clinical psychology is my vocation. It's what I know I am called to do. I know it. This is what God has laid out. This is the plan that he has laid out for me. And in the beginning, part of the depression that entered was because I had a hard time accepting that, because I had set my vision on something totally different. I set it on something totally different. And, you know, talking with God, it's like, but God, you said, I can do anything if I acknowledge you. You know, I'm talking with the Father about why is my course changing? And, you know, his words, you know, your course never changed. It was always like this. You didn't trust me then, and thus you took a pathway that you didn't have to take. And, yeah, I'm not mad at you, but you took a path, you know, that you didn't have to take. That's not what I have for you. And he always brings to my mind and my heart, when I went to college, you know, he told me, I said, what major? I asked the Lord, he told me, I said, what major should I do? He said, psychology. I decided to do biology because I wanted a job after I graduated. Wanted to get that moolah. And so, but yet his faithfulness and just guiding my footsteps, loving me so much to say no, and sticking his finger and locking doors, you know, it's just phenomenal. You know, that's just, I always share with my Lord, that the Lord, you know, I kick and scream. I'm still working on it. But don't change your plan for me. Even if I'm kicking and screaming, just let me have that little moment. Let me have that little moment. But I'm still going to come the way that you're going. I want to be where you are at. I want to be where you are at. I don't want to do nothing that doesn't line up with what you have. And so I want my kicking and screaming to be psalms and hymns, spiritual songs for them. So definitely, you know, I tune in next week. I'm only going to do this for an hour. Remember, if you have any questions, you can definitely email me or text me. You definitely have the number. Just text and just write to CCTI. Here's a question. Here's an issue. If you don't want to ask it on air, you can definitely email it to me ahead of time so I can take it. There are some other questions I'll probably address and throw out there. And we'll always do it through the Word of God because that's what we want. So be blessed. Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit with your families. And I will see you next Monday, if the Lord says the same, at 7 o'clock. We'll just do an hour and invite people to be a part of what God is doing. All right? I love you.
Bishop?
Enjoy the ministry.
Bishop?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Bishop, yes. I wasn't sure. I didn't know it was just an hour, and I didn't know we were on, but I praise God for and just the opportunity to have our issues addressed in open form, in hearing information that gives clarity to some of our emotional experiences that we tend to have very privately, and yet they have a very public consequences on our lives. And so I appreciate this time, and I do hope that we are more open with letting the people know, you know, that you're going to be available to do this, because I know that there were definitions that you gave that brought understanding for me. And so I know that it is something that is needed. It is refreshing format. And so I encourage you. I enjoy it. You know, we just need to get the word out there, because people need this. And because it's not mandatory, it's not, I'm not saying structured. It is structured, but it right. You know, there's no homework. It's just addressing life issues. And, you know, sometimes we just need time to do that. And then to not have it just scheduled on, you know, every second Saturday, or, you know, who can wait every second Saturday? So, you know, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And I intend to break out in a song, okay?
You know, always appreciate your feedback. And I definitely apologize, because I was hesitant in doing it. I was like, well, how am I going to do it? Is it going to work? And I was just real hesitant. So I just said, let me just go ahead, and we're just going to go with it. And, you know, this was a test run tonight. And
amen.
The fact that we got the callers online, it's just like, oh, my Lord, this is all right. So definitely put it out. And make the announcement so that people know it's the open forum, it's round table. You know, now we really want to address those issues. I mean, when me and you converse, something literally happened. I'm thinking different, and I'm seeing this thing different now. Like, it's like when you stand on one mountain and you can see other mountains, then it's like, okay, we need to get there. We need to get there.
Yes.
Or God, where is the champion that will rise up?
Amen.
And how do we prepare them to get out the four walls of the church and get to their mouth and feel confident?
Yeah.
That's
it.
You know,
yes.
Feel
absolutely.
So I definitely was feasting on it. I looked up some of the videos, and it's just been confirming. And then Apostle definitely preaching hard, you know, just teaching that thing. She's like, I get it. We just got to move forward. It's just that simple.
Amen.
It's just that
Amen.
Simple. So definitely. So we'll definitely get the word out. And we'll definitely put that out so that people can, you know, if
Amen.
They've got questions, we can address them.
Absolutely. All right. Well, then praise God for your dedication and your faithfulness. Thank you for your yes.
Well, I'm trying. I'm trying.
Amen. That's, you know what? We're in a journey. Thank you. Amen.
All right. Well, callers, you all have a great night. I love you guys.
Amen.
Enjoy the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and I'll see you guys next week.
Amen.
Well, talk to you guys next week.
What?
Okay. Now I am.